Good evening. My name is Rebecca Dixon. This evening I'd like to give kind of a formal Dharma talk on the indispensability of love. We simply can't do without it. That's not just a poetic statement, but from the vantage point of Buddhist practice, it really is indispensable for seeing things as they truly are. And this is the goal of what is called in Pali bhavana, or training the mind. We call it meditation. We meditate in order to be able to see things as they really are in our experience. The basic principles of Buddhism all point to love and how important it is. And the way this talk is organized is I'm going to take three really important principles and talk about how they lead to love, or love leads to them, or actually back and forth quite a bit. The principles I'm going to talk about tonight are acceptance, non-harming, and anatta, or not self. But love is actually inextricable from all of the teachings. In fact, if you were to roll it all together, everything that Buddha taught, all the practices that Buddhism has passed down through the millennia, love would be at the heart of it all. Let's start out with acceptance, and we certainly need this whenever we sit down to meditate, because we sit down to meditate with the idea that we're going to watch our breathing, or whatever we've chosen as the object of concentration, and the mind has a mind of its own. It's going to do something else, at least for a while. So we need to accept whatever arises, including the misbehavior of our own minds, to be with the truth of the moment. And this takes willingness and courage. So I thought I'd kind of, right off the bat, read to you from the poetry of Hafiz, a Sufi mystic, entitled, It Felt Love. How did the rose ever open its heart and give to this world all its beauty? It felt the encouragement of light against its being. Otherwise, we all remain too frightened. So just the simple task we assign ourselves in meditation, to be present with the moment, takes this aspect of love. We need to accept what the moment is. And we need love in the form of intention and determination to stay with the moment. These are the ingredients of concentration. To be there and to stay there. It's very similar to working with a puppy. Sit. Stay. And anyone who's raised a puppy probably knows that you can train a puppy either with harshness or with love. And if you train that puppy with harshness, it may do what you tell it to do. But there may come a day when it turns on you. But if you raise a puppy with love, it will do what it tells you to do. And it will give you its lifetime of loving companionship as well. We can do this for our own minds. Tell it to sit and to stay with love. So acceptance is important in accepting what we experience and the ability to open the heart to it. This takes us to the next principle I want to talk about, which is non-harming. When you look at the Eightfold Path, the very top of the list, the first two things, are the aspects of wisdom. They are wise understanding and wise intention. And the wise understanding is that it's about suffering, the nature of suffering and how it can be ended. And the intention is to end suffering and not to go on causing more of it. So it is a devotion to the principle of not causing harm. This is the beginning of tenderness. Recognizing vulnerability in ourselves and in others, all other sentient beings. In fact, all beings. There's a movement this year, in fact, to teach eco-dharma. And when I first heard of this, I remembered all of the suttas I've read where Buddha said you can pour something into the ocean forever and ever and it's never going to change the ocean. Well, that was true back then when there were a lot fewer human beings on the planet. But we have witnessed that no, you pour enough stuff in the ocean, you're going to hurt the ocean. We human beings have actually been able to obliterate mountains, which, you know, the old literature said never could be done. They were permanent and invulnerable. Everything we have come to know is vulnerable. Everything is subject to the laws of change. And not only do we have the power to harm, but we have the power to avoid harming. So when we see the vulnerability of the planet, of all beings, the response of the mind that can see things as they truly are is one of love. In this light, I'm going to read the very end of Mary Oliver's poem, In Blackwater Woods. These are lines that have been very important in my life. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things. To love what is mortal. To hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it. And when the time comes, to let it go. To let it go. So this tenderness toward what is vulnerable, which is everything, life itself, leads us to be able to compare ourselves to other beings in a way that's not judgmental, a one-up or a one-down, but to see that we're the same, to recognize our oneness. And it allows us, when we see that, encourages us to feel compassion. It is an opening to a universal love. Early on in my own practice, I attended a day long by a monastic. He was saying that people in robes, monastics, are good at the idea of metta as a universal feeling for all beings. But that it was kind of an intellectual, almost esoteric relationship or feeling. And that conversely, lay people are really good at loving passionately, but where we have trouble is understanding that it's universal. It has to be universal. Because we're not separate from other beings. We all bleed. Even other beings, other life forms, that maybe they bleed green, but you know, where everything is vulnerable. And together, we form a unity. You know, the idea that we have of being separate is a delusion. When we're able to bring together the passion of a layperson's way of loving and the universality of a monastic's metta, then all of life becomes love in action. And it gets expressed in generosity, in random acts of kindness, forgiveness, and creative endeavor, which for some people can be their work, what they do for a living. I know most work is pretty tedious, annoying, and we're very glad to see the end of the work week come. But probably there are moments in there when we're actually doing something creative and we can really revel in it, understand or feel, even for a fleeting moment, the connection between what we're doing in our lives and the well-being of the rest of the universe. What the Dharma leads to, what love leads to, is a feeling of, for lack of a better word, enlightenment. We drop the burdens of our suffering and become lighter. And as we grow spiritually in love and wisdom, we come to feel more and more often an emotion that is one of peace, of joy, and of love, all merged into one feeling, one all-encompassing feeling. I'd like to end with another poem by Hafiz. It's entitled, Now is the Time. Now is the time to know that all you do is sacred. Now, why not consider a lasting truce with yourself and God? Now is the time to understand that all your ideas of right and wrong were just a child's training wheels, to be laid aside when you can finally live with veracity and love. Now is the time for the world to know that every thought and action is sacred. This is the time for you to compute the impossibility that there is anything but grace. Now is the season to know that everything you do is sacred. Thank you.